Are we? Thank you. Okay, before we get started, really quickly, just personally between Andrea and myself. Andrea, are you planning to do a roll call? Are we planning to do a roll call here? Or it's not on the agenda, but I'd like us to, if that's okay.
Yes, yes, it needs to be public recorded. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Okay, well, we will officially begin the Regional Growth Committee for the Wasatch Front Regional Council. Today is August 19, 2021. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving with all of you here at Regional Growth Committee, and I just appreciate the chance to serve with each of you. First, let's do a roll call first. We'll have Andrea do that first, if you would, please, and then we will go to the minutes from last time that need to be approved.
Thank you. Attending today, we have Kevin Van Tassel, Andrea Pearson, Andrew Gruber, Joy Petro, Ted Knowlton, Norm Searle, Laura Hansen, Dawn Ramsey, Miranda Jones-Cox, Ben Wethrich, Beth Holbrook, Megan Townsend, Ginger Chin, Len Arvey, Wayne Bennion, Ari Bruning, Carrie Doan, Jory Johnner, Mark Allen, Michaela Jordan, Jennifer Elskin, Ryan Beck, Marsha White, Christy Dahlberg, Ben Hewitt, Nikki Navio, Lauren Victor, Bert Granberg, Aaron Mendenhall, Ned Hacker, Brett Milburn, Robert McConnell, Julie Fulmer, Wendy Thomas, Carson Eilers, Rosie Hernandez, Julie Bjornstad, Richard Snellgrove, Shul Bishop, Kelly Lund, and that's it so far. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Andrea. I appreciate that. You know, I can't help but be very mindful that this is a committee of rock stars. Each of you in your own right, what you do, thank you, all of you, for your service and for what you contribute to this process, because it matters for the people that we each represent, the organizations we're part of, and for the good of the state of Utah, the residents who live here. So thank you. All right, we're going to go to item number two. We're going to open the public comment portion of this meeting. If there's anyone from the public here who would like to address the council, I would ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave so we know, or use the raise your hand button so we can see you. We'll open public comment portion now.
Mayor, I don't have a public comment, but maybe this would be a moment that I could introduce somebody who is a new member with us, if you will. Jennifer Elskin is with us. Jennifer is the new Utah representative for the Federal Highway Administration. She's not new to Utah. She actually used to work at UDOT several years ago. She's gone off to other states, and now we're very happy to have her back here. We work in really close partnership with our friends and colleagues at the Federal Highway Administration, the Federal Transit Administration, and other agencies. And I just wanted you all to know and welcome Jennifer. And Jennifer, we're really happy to have you with us.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm happy to be here. It's my first week with the Utah Division and happy to be back in Utah and excited to learn a little bit more about what's been happening since I've been gone.
That's great. Andrew, thank you. And Jennifer, welcome. Nice to have you back and look forward to getting to work closer with you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment during this public comment portion of the meeting? Okay. Seeing none, I will close the public comment portion of the meeting and I will jump back to number one because we still have minutes to approve from our last meeting. Going back to the Regional Growth Committee minutes from our meeting held May 20th, 2021, those were sent out. And there's also, so Andrea just included a link, I think, to the packet for today. Yes. Okay. Has anyone had an opportunity to review those minutes? And are you willing to make a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve, Mayor. This is Dandoy.
Thank you, Mayor. Can we get a second?
Len Arvey, I'll second them.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that. Okay, any discussion or amendments to the minutes? Bear with me, I'm scrolling between screens, so if you have something to say, please be sure to let me know. Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes from the Regional Growth Committee meeting held May 20th, 2021, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, those minutes are approved. All right, item three on our agenda, we have a discussion. We're just gonna have a conversation. I wanna introduce this, maybe cue it up just a little bit by mentioning, I'm sure all of us have seen in the media recently the census data that came out, and we are not surprised. We are all aware that Utah has been the fastest growing state for the last 10 years. And with that, there are pros and cons that come with that. We are facing some challenges with housing affordability, limited water, an increased demand on our transportation infrastructure, economic opportunities. These are things that as Utah continues to grow and as we've grown to the size that we have, that we as a body and our colleagues will continue to work to address. Wanted to mention that the State Economic Opportunities Commission has been started. They are underway and had the first board meeting. And if you'll recall, that commission was established during the last legislative session. And there are subcommittees. They've divided into five subcommittees?
I think it's at least seven.
Is it seven?
Yeah.
Started as five in the original iteration, but yeah, it might be seven, yeah. Anyway, several subcommittees to bring together great minds from around the state to address some of these very specific concerns, and the ones that really apply to us, we want to talk about here today, significant concerns for us here at the Regional Growth Committee as part of Wasatch Front Regional Council. We really have an opportunity here. There are some pretty strong ideas that some of the legislators have already kind of voiced and proposed, and there's potential for draft legislation already being created, we're hearing. But we really have a unique opportunity right here to weigh in. And it's so important. It's such a benefit to have Andrew serving on a subcommittee, which I'll let him give you a little bit more information about. But this Regional Growth Committee and Wasatch Front Regional Council has the chance to really have an influence on policy that will for sure be created and presented to the legislature this next session. There are goals that have been set for what the state will look like and how we get there is what we're trying to figure out. And the objective of this committee, this Economic Opportunities Commission, is to really come up with about 10, it was the goal, policy objectives that can be presented to the legislature as a full body to be implemented for the future of economic development and everything that goes with that, economic opportunity, transportation, housing, affordability, all the things that we do, how we go about incentivizing, how we bring jobs, and how we handle all of the growth and where we put everyone, and that they can't all be on the Wasatch Front. Really, how can we strengthen opportunities in rural Utah? These are the conversations, and we have quite a chance to have an influence on policy right now. There's a window, and it's right now. So I'll have Andrew and Ted talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but our window to really be engaged and participate is now. So we'll talk a little bit about the survey, and we want to make sure that our voice is heard and that we do get a chance to shape this, because policy will for sure be presented as proposed policy, and we would like it to be something that we have a chance to help craft rather than something that we just have to deal with after it's already implemented, you know. So this is a really great opportunity we have, and we're going to have this conversation for the next few minutes. So I'm going to turn it over to Andrew and Ted and let you take it away and lead this discussion.
Okay, thank you so much, Mayor, and good morning to everybody. It's great to see all of you here today. I'm going to echo and build on what Mayor Ramsey already talked about. Give me a thumbs up that you can see my screen, please. Yes, indeed. Okay. As Mayor Ramsey noted, there are significant current conversations happening around growth issues. And, you know, there are two commissions, principal commissions that have been established to facilitate conversation. One is, as Mayor Ramsey noted already, the new Unified Economic Opportunity Commission that's chaired by the governor and has participation from legislative leadership, private sector leadership. Mayor Ramsey is serving on that commission as a representative of the Utah League of Cities and Towns. Commissioner Gage Frohr is serving from Weber County as a representative from the Utah Association of Counties. And many of us are involved, including, as Mayor Ramsey noted, in one particular working group that relates to regional growth and the Regional Growth Committee, and that is this Growth and Incentives Alignment, a subcommittee that I'm participating in. Cameron Deal is participating from the League of Cities and Towns. Brandy Grace, the executive director of the Utah Association of Counties, and others are participating in that working group. Parallel to that, the Commission on Housing Affordability, which has actually been around for a little while now, is working to develop ideas and policies around housing affordability. The thing that I think is cool, you've got a commission on housing, you've got a commission on economic opportunity. We all work together and have worked together on transportation issues. All of these things are coming together because they all relate to each other under the banner of the challenge and opportunity presented from growth. So let me give you an overall sense of what we think is the timeline for how this is all going to flow. So right now, the August-September so-called interim period is a period for general policy discussion. What are the objectives that we're trying to accomplish? And what are the policies that we might consider that could be helpful? You all have received from us and perhaps from the League of Cities and Towns, if you're a city directly, a survey that we put together. That survey collected and combined over 100 different policy ideas that have been shot around from various sources and various stakeholders about dealing with growth issues. And again, when I say growth issues, I mean that writ large, housing affordability challenges, air quality, economic opportunity, transportation, et cetera. We sent that survey out to you. If you have not filled the survey out, this is not just for cities, it's for anybody. If you've not filled the survey out, please do so. It will take you 10 minutes and the survey is closing later this afternoon. So we'll drop a link to that survey in the chat. Don't do it right now, but do it soon, okay? We'll drop that in. Economic Opportunity Commission, the subcommittees, the Commission on Housing Affordability are all meeting and are in this space of what are the policy approaches? There's this, such a long list. What are the ones we want to coalesce towards? Of course, we're having this meeting next week on Thursday, the Wasatch Front Regional Council, the council itself meets. So an opportunity to start narrowing down the sort of at a conceptual level, the general policy direction. Then as these things go in October, November, we'll start narrowing down to specific policies and actual legislative development. Because it's one thing to have a concept stated in a sentence. It's another very different thing to actually have that translated into legislation and the details and the hard work that goes into in implementing a policy or a legislative idea. And that may seem a little abstract, but in just a few minutes, we're going to get into some specific ideas that we'll talk about. The meetings will continue. Doesn't everybody just love meetings? So many meetings, they'll just keep going. And then, of course, we go into January and February when we have the legislative session where potential legislation and potentially funding will be considered to address these issues. So that, I hope, is a helpful sort of overall framing. What are our objectives here for Regional Growth Committee? And I would say broader than that, just that, our objectives collectively, individually and collectively as representatives of our communities and our region. Of course, we want to be proactive in addressing growth challenges. And I'm going to, maybe Mayor Ramsey, I'm going to say a little more directly something that you alluded to. And that is, we can be proactive or we can have things imposed on us. And if we are not individually and collectively proactive in identifying good solutions and good approaches, many of which you're doing already, right? But if we can't proactively address our growth challenges, there is much more likelihood that the legislature, fulfilling their obligations, is going to pass policies that maybe are, you know, you don't like. Okay? So proactivity, I think, is important, opportunity and a risk. Second, of course, we want to evaluate and develop policy ideas. And maybe this is stating the obvious, but let's pursue ideas that actually will have a positive impact. And you, as representatives of your local communities, you know better than anybody what's actually going to help in your communities. Okay, before we actually get into specific policy ideas, I think it's really helpful to take a step back a little bit and just recognize that we have a lot of work in this space that we have done collectively about how we should grow as a region. And when we're looking at individual policies, we can and should frame them in the context of our shared regional vision, the Wasatch Choice Vision, which you have all participated in developing and how you want to grow in your individual communities We've got a little image here of Davis County right now and going up into just a little bit into Weber County. But of course, the core strategies of the Wasatch Choice, you see them here, providing transportation choices, supporting housing options, preserving open space, and linking economic development with transportation and housing decisions. The one way to think about all of that is that there are certain areas that it makes more sense for there to be more growth and for that growth to be coordinated with transportation. Centers of development, you know, where development occurs matters, and coordinating housing and transportation and economic development makes a lot of sense. So policies that are adopted, legislation that's adopted, should recognize that you all have identified areas that it makes the most sense to grow. And let's help that to happen. Okay, now, the survey that I mentioned of over 100 individual ideas sort of compiled down into these categories in the survey. You've seen these if you did the survey. If you haven't done it yet, we hope you will. But it breaks down into these: growth and housing affordability, low and moderate income housing, transportation planning and investment, zoning and land use, and growth, taxation, and economic development. Okay, enough prefatory and comments and background. Let's actually get into a handful of these specific policy ideas. Now, before Ted and I are gonna tag team on this a little, before I put these on the screen, I just wanna make clear what we're trying to do here. We identified, coming out of that survey, a handful of policies that survey respondents so far have said they're basically comfortable with pursuing. That doesn't mean that all the details have been worked out, but basically either very comfortable or somewhat comfortable. And then also we're going to identify a handful of policies or ideas that survey respondents have either said they're somewhat concerned or very concerned. And I'll just note that the ideas that we are going to show you here fall more in what I might call the WFRC space, right? The coordination of transportation and housing and economic development, as opposed to like a pure housing policy, which is more, which we want to be helpful with, but is more directly in the local government space, okay? So the idea here, I think, is not to get into all the details of this, but we're going to show these to you. And as we're going through it, we want to ask you all to think about, what do you think? Does this make sense that you would have general comfort with these and general concern? And the question is, why? What is it about these policies that makes you comfortable or concerned? Or put another way, what makes you think that some of these policies would work and some wouldn't? We're going to go through them. And then as Mayor Ramsey said, we're going to, after we go through them, we're going to talk about it. We want you to share, like, tell us, does this make sense to you? What's going to work and what's not going to work? Okay. All right. So let's see it. Now I see, before I start doing this, I see a hand raised from Dina Blaze from Salt Lake County. Dina, did you want to make a comment or ask a question?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Thanks. I just wanted a clarification because I did fill out the survey already.
Good.
And the language in the survey said explore these ideas, not pursue. So I answered based on the concept of, I'm interested and very comfortable in exploring some of these ideas. I'm not sure I'm comfortable pursuing them at this point. So I just want to make sure that sort of that's understood in the responses that I provided in the survey, because I think there's some excellent ideas for us to explore, but I'm not necessarily in favor of pursuing all of those that I may have indicated my comfort level is quite high.
Dina, I'm so glad you said that. It's a very helpful and important clarification for the survey and for what we're doing here right now. You are not voting yes or no on any of these particular policies. It is, are you comfortable with at least exploring, with the understanding, as Dina is implying, that there is going to have to be so much more work on any and all of these. So for everyone, you could say, well, it depends on the details. It does depend on the details, but it's just a matter of exploring a path in this August, September timeline that we're in right now. Dina, thank you so much for that clarification. With that, let's go ahead and jump in. Okay. And Ted is going to note the first one.
Okay. So we're going to read through each one of these. There's seven total statements. The first one is organize a coordinated communications and public outreach effort around growth challenges and opportunities. Preliminarily, survey respondents are very comfortable with this idea, and it's understandable, right? The challenges of addressing rapid growth really depend on how residents in each of our communities think about policy and planning and what they think makes sense in each community. So this, you could think about how this might unfold, but it could get into some basic points of understanding that we're familiar with, that most growth does in fact come from our own large families. It could get into things like the pros and cons of different general strategies. So that's the first item.
Thanks, Ted. The second item, again, that people have expressed general comfort with exploring, state funding for enhancements to multimodal transportation options that are coordinated with local land use. For example, enhanced transit or active transportation. Again, this fits in with the Wasatch Choice vision that we're providing transportation choices to people and that we want to be coordinating those with your local land use. And the state historically has not put money into transit or active transportation. Now they did last year for the first time put money into Front Runner and some into active transportation. Should they continue to be doing that and coordinate that with your local land use? The next one, which I'll take, is expand housing and transit reinvestment zones, or HTRZs, to additional transit hubs. For example, fixed rail, so tracks and BRT stations, and have enhanced state financial participation. This, you may remember, this HTRZ tool is something that we created legislatively last year with lots of engagement, so that around a Front Runner station, a third of a mile radius, there would be more mixed use, more opportunities for mixed use and multifamily housing, and all of the parties would participate by contributing some tax increment to make that happen. And perhaps that could be expanded. Now, again, this is just an exploration of the concept. And perhaps if we were going to do this, it would only make sense if there was more state participation of some of the state tax increment, if there was more consideration of additional affordable housing in those areas. So, but that's an area that respondents said we're comfortable exploring that potential path forward. And then the last one we'll talk about here, Ted.
State incentives for municipalities to increase residential density / job locations along transit corridors. When you fill out the survey, you'll note that these are two different policy ideas to weigh in on. We combined them in here, but we've had an ongoing conversation at Regional Growth Committee about helping workers and households get to the destinations that they need to get to easily. And one advantage of growth near transit, of course, is it reduces that cost and helps people really get to the destinations that they want to get to. This item getting at a variety of different potential incentives that help make it worth the while for municipalities to go ahead and allow more both homes and jobs along transit corridors.
Thanks, and Ted.
I might just
add, I'm on my screen, Mayor Mendenhall from Salt Lake City and Mayor Dandoy from Roy City are right next to each other. And their communities are so different, right? But both are pursuing more development opportunities around their transit stations. Mayor Dandoy, if I heard right, your city council has just approved the development plan around the Roy Front Runner station. And of course, Mayor Mendenhall in Salt Lake City, there's been so much work around taking advantage of the transit system. So could the state help more for your local communities to facilitate that type of development, housing or job locations to occur? Okay, so we just talked about four items again that folks have said they're comfortable exploring. Now, we're gonna go into the concern zone. Wait, let's go, okay. And we're gonna hit a few of these. Ted.
Statewide mandatory reduction in parking requirements near transit stations to reduce the cost of building homes in those areas. And I'll just briefly note, I think we want to understand the as you hear that and as you think about that in your community, what's the nature of your concerns that you might have about that as we explore it, as Dina mentioned? You know, as you think about parking and transit, parking demand does tend to fall near transit. And if we can enable more development to be built with less parking, research shows that those savings are passed on to tenants and condo buyers in transit areas. So it is part of that package of improving housing affordability. We'd love to understand that one better.
And we've got two more that we'll show you that folks have expressed initially concern about. Change the Transportation Investment Fund, right? This is state funding that goes through UDOT for road construction, a lot of it to deal with our growth issues. Change the eligibility criteria for those funds to a housing unit quota instead of moderate income housing plan adoption and reporting compliance. You may remember this from a few years ago in SB 34, there was a provision put in the law that says if you, in your local communities, if you don't do your moderate income housing plan and do the required reporting on it, then those state TIF dollars, road dollars, can't be spent in your communities. Well, some people have said that's not a strong enough, stick, hammer, penalty. And so some have said, well, rather than just reporting on the plan, you should have a quota for the number of housing units you are building. And if you don't meet that quota, you're not eligible for state road funds to be spent in your community. Related to that is another one, B&C road funds. These, of course, are the gas tax revenues, the 30% of the state gas tax that goes to cities and counties through the B&C formula. That B&C road funds would be withheld from municipalities that don't fulfill the intent of SB 34. Meaning more development of housing and affordable housing. Now, just to be clear, don't shoot the messenger. These are not ideas we are suggesting that should happen. These are ideas that have been talked about and are being talked about in that broader policy discussion that people have initially through the survey expressed concern about. Okay, that's the seven policies that we've extracted from the survey that we think relate to the Wasatch Choice and the work that we do here. And Mayor Ramsey, I guess now we just want to have conversation with the group. And you know, I think perhaps the sort of initial framing question would be, what do you think, are you comfortable, again, exploring, does this make sense? And if you are comfortable exploring these ones in green, why is that? What is it about these that makes you comfortable, that feels like it would be productive? And then if you're in fact also concerned about the ones in orange or red, why is that? You know, what is it about them that makes you concerned? Mayor, do you want to frame it in any other way or before we just open it up?
No, I just appreciate that. We really do want to hear from everyone. And when I said that we have a limited window, we really do. These policies are going to be put together very quickly. The subcommittee meets again on the 24th of August to discuss this, and it's a fast moving train. So please, please chime in, take the survey and give us your feedback so that this data can be aggregated and we can make sure that we're trying to propose very helpful things that we've all had a chance to be part of rather than having things imposed on us.
So this is Robert McConnell. I'm willing to talk about what those things do. I mean, I think it's fairly obvious. I mean, if you look at the green and the orange, what everybody is saying is, yes, you can do all kinds of things to communicate and to incentivize us.
Yep.
But if you, in fact, want to penalize us for our failure to perform, then we're concerned. I don't know exactly how these things will apply to a rural county like Morgan County, because we don't generally have transit hubs around which we can locate multifamily housing. We have farm sheds as opposed to those things. The withholding of B&C road funds would be incredibly detrimental to a rural county like ours. We can't keep up with what we have now on the basis of those funds. from a development perspective, so I kind of sit on both sides of the dais on these issues because I hear developers come in and I represent developers in other jurisdictions. I would say that some of those things about which we have discomfort, the legislature is pushing because cities are underperforming in this regard. It's very difficult when you're a public official and all of your constituents come in and tell you that they support general goals and lofty ideals in terms of affordable housing, but they don't really want it in their community. Put it in the one next door, put it somewhere else, you know. And look, I have this debate within the walls of my own home, so I know how real that debate is. But from my perspective, you just look at what's green and red and you're talking the difference between communication and incentive and then actual, you know, rubber hits the road types of penalties if we fail to perform.
I see Mayor Wilson has her hand raised. Thanks, thanks, Commissioner McConnell. Mayor Wilson?
Well, you know, I think the question of the carrot versus the stick is a really good one. And I frankly think that if you look at our Wasatch Front counties and communities, we're all very different, right? And there are, I think I feel more of a sense of urgency in my county, but I would say, you know, if we could encourage, if, you know, we are going to see legislation and we're going to see a lot of dialogue on this, for there to be some sort of phase scale. Morgan County is different than Salt Lake County, right? So I think that the objective, frankly, of a Morgan County and any county that's high growth, even one that has a lot of developable land, is for them not to become us, right? We have in Salt Lake County a lot of pressure, and you know, we're seeing housing prices go up everywhere in the nation, in the state, but I think our lack of developable land right now is leading to this oh no moment, right? And it, we've seen it coming. It's just hit us hard now. So I think where I would actually encourage some sort of tiered system whereby other counties that may not, it may be in a different position than the more urban, actually are required to do more extensive long range planning to prevent the problem, right? We have some lesson learned. So I would favor some sort of system whereby there were a layered approach and more punitive perhaps approaches along with some carrots as well. I never want to take a carrot off the table, certainly, but we're not, even in members of Wasatch Front Coalition, let alone the state as a whole, each of us have different challenges.
Thanks, Mayor Wilson. I saw Mayor Arvey from North Salt Lake raise his hand, and then Councilman Shields from Harriman, and then Mayor Petro from Layton.
Yeah, Cameron Deal, I think, quotes it best when he says, one size misfits all. And it's not just the urban and rural issues that are out there. If you look at a city like Fruit Heights, and compare it to a city like Riverdale, you know, they're, neither one is very big, and trying to get state mandates that will not significantly harm those communities is pretty hard. And I think that's one of the issues that I struggle with. I don't think it's just Davis County, but in Davis County, we have just a lot of small cities. And when you're trying to regulate those, each of them are enough different that you can't get a single mandate that's not going to significantly hurt one of those.
Mayor, can I ask, are there particular policies or strategies on this list that relate to your good point?
I mean, if you're in Fruit Heights, and again, I'm not in Fruit Heights, but just as familiar with, I don't think they have a lot of developable land. And so if you're trying to, and I don't know if it's on here, but there were areas in there where you're trying to incentivize low-income housing. Well, Fruit Heights is just on the side of a hill that has higher income housing, and try and incorporate low income housing in that city would just be pretty hard. Sunset has a lot of low income housing already. And so they're already dealing with a lot of the issues. But I think that's kind of my concern, is that they're just small cities that have different issues. I know West Bountiful is struggling with it, and I shouldn't name cities, but there are cities that do want to maintain the way they are and probably need some education or direction or something to try and help them maybe pull their share. But I just don't know how to enforce that from on a statewide basis, where you're not going to really affect some other places that are just small communities again, that just don't have the opportunity and land to really do something with lower income housing.
Councilman Shields.
Thank you, Andrew. So as you mentioned earlier, there were north of 100 policy recommendations that you're trying to sort through. And I'm sure that if we listed all 100 of those policies, you would get so many different pros and cons for each one of those policies. And you'd get different pros and cons if it was in downtown Salt Lake City, or if it was in Harriman, or if it was in, you know, Vernal, right? You're going to get different approaches to that. So as far as, you know, giving you specific feedback on each one of these, I hope you would allow me a little bit of a more general statement on a couple of these. So for example, let me start on the concern side. For example, number E that you listed. There's a couple of issues with that. Number one is that the parking requirements are really an essential part of a good community plan. And trying to incentivize reduced parking requirements could be substantially at odds with what is a really good plan or a needed element in a community. Another aspect of that particular statement that I find concerning is that there seems to be this persistent narrative that the inputs of housing construction costs translate directly to home prices. And I think we need to have a real conversation about how those two correlate. I think there's plenty of times where we've seen reduction in the cost of materials, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the market price of homes has changed, right? One is, inputs, one is market, one is price, one is cost. And I think that those are two different conversations. So things that incentivize lower cost of materials don't necessarily translate to an impact on the affordability of the homes. We've just seen prices going up, 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 up. I would hate to think that we're just going to build smaller homes with less amenities and no parking and just charge a whole lot more for them. That just seems like poor planning. The other issue I would say is anything that talks about a one size fits all quota issue, or it seems to be counterproductive. For example, in Harriman, where we added 35,000 residents in the last 10 years, it's easy for us to hit housing quotas. We're building houses all over the place. If you're in, for example, a more developed community that's kind of landlocked, your ability to meet a quota is almost impossible. So I think, tying those to plans and reporting on your plans and things are reasonable. However, trying to meet a quota seems to be an unfair distribution of how we would help people. So I guess just in general, I like things that are incentive-based, plan-based, and I think if we tied them to actual results-based, that would be great. But if we're tying it to intent-based, I would generally be opposed to those type of things.
Thanks, Councilman. And I'll just note that in the most recent census data that was released earlier this week, the three cities in the state that had the most housing units developed in the last year, Salt Lake City, Harriman, South Jordan. So interesting, fast growing areas, and our state's capital, which doesn't have open land. Harriman does, South Jordan does, Salt Lake City doesn't. And I think that just sort of gets at this point that's been alluded to here. We have to look at greenfield development and what happens there, and also the possibilities of infill and redevelopment in our areas that are already built out. Okay, let's go to Mayor Petro, and then we're gonna go to Beth Holbrook, Trustee Holbrook from UTA, and Laura Hansen, State Planning Coordinator with GOPB.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. I don't wanna reiterate what's been said because I think the points that everybody's brought up are very valid and I support them all. I'm glad that we're having this conversation in advance, though, to kind of give guidance and direction on behalf of the majority of the folks here. But I struggle very deeply with the fact that when you start to putting in mandates on cities to perform, I think that's the wrong approach. Incentives, yes, but mandates, no. And especially as I look at, you know, the way that a lot of this is developing, we're basically trying to say, okay, the affordable housing is going to be along all of our mass transit corridors. Well, to me, that kind of really divides up a city, or more or less centralizes that type of income level that I think is wrong in the long term. And I can only relate that when you look at, you know, obviously a lot of these bigger cities that have been, that are already built up, like Chicago, New York, and those. And I mean, unfortunately, that becomes a high crime area. So I'd hate to see that we get stuck on the fact that we have to go along these transportation corridors. Those are just some additives to what everybody else has already said. But I think that's just something we need to look at. And like I said, I'll reemphasize the fact I do not want to go with mandates at all on a city. I think that's wrong. And then simply stated as earlier, because so many of us have different makeups within our boundaries that just would be prohibitive. So that's my take.
Thanks, Mayor Ramsey, can I suggest that we've got three folks with their hands raised now, Beth Holbrook, Laura Hansen, and Mayor Mendenhall from Salt Lake City. Let's hear their comments and then maybe wrap up and talk about next steps, okay?
That's great. And thank you really to all of you who are weighing in. This is the discussion we need to have. Thank you.
Beth?
Thanks, Andrew, and thanks, Mayor Ramsey. I am wearing two hats on this one, and I wanted to articulate that. The first one I want to say is UTA trustee. UTA has been working really hard to try to help the communities that we serve, especially with our front runner stations, in order to maximize the value of the existing infrastructure, because the existing infrastructure that's already been embedded, pun intended, in the transit areas, that has value. And I'd apologize, I can't remember off the top of my head, but someone articulated that it's not just the cost of goods, and I that statement is valid. However, having existing infrastructure already built out does add value to a project that is going to be adjacent to that. And as I noted just off the top of this, most all of these mentioned transit in some capacity, and UTA wants to be supportive of that and continues to try to work with all of our communities and their varying populations and thoughts about what density looks like. So with that aspect, UTA is willing to support and help any community in any way to strengthen what it is that they're looking for. Now, I want to put on my second hat for just a moment. And I sit on the Commission for Housing Affordability. And one of the elements that I have heard from other elected officials, certainly on this meeting, but in multiple meetings that I have been in the past, there is a discussion about how can we drive good development to address these affordable housing issues so that we don't chase away economic opportunities. And I applaud those communities that are doing that. I'm also going to flip this statement, though. There are a lot of communities that are not as engaged. And this is where there are strategic differences. And in terms of, we know candidly on the commission that Salt Lake City is doing their part. I'm going to pick on Salt Lake City because I see Mayor Mendenhall. We know that they're doing their part though when it comes to affordable housing. This legislation that would be implemented to kind of be, for want of a better word, more of a stick, it's not addressed to those communities. There has to be a more regional acknowledgement that just like transit, it's not all confined to one community. And I think that that is what we're certainly hearing that from the development community, that there are cities that they love to work with and cities that are difficult and challenging. And how do they manage that? Because they still want that goal achieved of addressing that affordable housing so that the economic opportunities that our state's seeing do not get missed. So with that, I don't want to take up too much time. There's a lot more I could say. I really wanted to hear from the cities on this one. So with that, thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Laura? Laura, you're muted.
I'm muted, sorry. Thank you. I have 4 points that I'll try to share as concisely as possible. Just building on some of the previous conversations. Somebody was mentioning that the number E parking reductions is really a tough thing. And I think part of the reason that people are resistant to that is because you really do kind of need a car to get around and to accomplish everything that you need right now. And so I think in order to accomplish E, it really needs to be combined with B, which is increased funding for multimodal transportation. I think, you know, some of these things may be more palatable at some point in the future once we have a more robust transit network. Mayor Arvey mentioned that, you know, some of his neighboring cities are still struggling with kind of the acceptance of density and affordable housing. And I think part of that, that sentiment really reinforces the need for number A on there, or letter A, which is the coordinated community outreach campaign. I think, you know, the more we talk to people and say, okay, the people who are, the growth that's happening in our communities largely are on families, or your school teachers or your firefighters in your community. And it's not, it's not bad people that's living in these housing projects or higher densities. So I think those things go together and that reinforces that need. I'd suggest on D, perhaps expanding the definition in our mind of transit corridors. Mayor Petro mentioned that, you know, not every community has the ability to build around a BRT or a rail line. And so if we can think of transit corridors as local bus routes, I think there's a huge untapped opportunity to increase development around bus routes, specifically in places where we have really high frequency bus routes. UT is working really closely with Salt Lake City on a frequent transit network. And I think that's a perfect opportunity. And as that network expands throughout the region, a great opportunity to build up. And then my last point, really quickly, in terms of kind of carrots and sticks, an approach that I really like was that was taken for the fifth, where there is a great incentive, but it goes away if you don't do some other things. So there's a timeline and a sunset. And so you're encouraged to make some progress on these areas, but perhaps funding or incentive for affordable housing goes away at some point if you don't accomplish those things. So those are my quick ideas.
Laura, thanks. And Laura's referring, when she says the fifth to the 0.20 local option transportation sales tax that the legislature has authorized to be imposed for transit that has not yet been imposed by any counties on the Wasatch Front. And that's time limited. It goes away. That opportunity goes away in a few years. Mayor Mendenhall.
Thanks, Andrew. And thanks for giving me just a moment at the end of this discussion here. And probably it's the right spot for me to insert this. We're at this point collectively for a number of reasons, but we're at an intersection that we've seen coming and that we have been very much implicit in the making of, which is our tremendously growing population in the state, the high need for housing and the shrinking availability of land in all of our jurisdictions. And I encourage us, and I appreciate the way that the staff is continuously helping us to frame us, frame these discussions in a way that emboldens the policies that we put forward to embrace these realities. And I do respect and appreciate the context that mayors and council members have shared so far. Salt Lake City certainly has plenty of context on the ground here that influences our opinions on the survey that we've expressed, and we'll keep working with staff on that. But I want to hear us, and I hope we can be less about why we can't and why it's difficult and why the culture hasn't been that way to accept density and affordability, and less about the negative stereotypes, frankly, that are cast on communities of density and affordability around transit centers. We need to leave this kind of rhetoric behind, in my opinion, and embrace the diversity of economic diversity and the other kinds of diversity that we are building into these kinds of multifamily centers in Salt Lake City that are proximate to transit. And at the bottom line is, our Utahns are spending 20% of their household income on their transportation expenses. We collectively have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on building transit networks so that we can reduce that burden on Utahns across the state. And it is appropriate that we locate affordable housing near these transit centers, in addition to market rate housing, so that the diverse income types of our population can create thriving communities. We know that's what creates thriving communities. So I just wanted to put that high level plug in that we are at an intersection, and we need to be bold and frankly courageous as policymakers in confronting the realities that we've been a part of making.
Mayor Mendenhall, thank you very much. Mayor Ramsey, I'll make a brief concluding comment and then turn back to you, if I may, that I think what we're hearing here is a really good sort of directional approaches, and a few themes have emerged. I'm not gonna try to summarize all of them, but one of them I think is that everybody recognizes that we have real challenges with growth, with housing affordability, and we wanna make sure that all of our communities have good access and good opportunity. And we also, so that every community has a role to play in this. What we're also hearing is that there is not one size fits all for every community. So those two things go hand in hand, you know, not having one size fits all and having a standard imposed upon you has to go hand in hand with every community doing what they can in the way that makes sense for their area to address these challenges. So writ large, I feel like that's the message that that comes out of this. And my gosh, we've got a lot of work to do. I'll take it down off the screen in just a second. We've been talking at a high level, at a general level, but over the course of the weeks and months to come, it's gonna get boiled down to actual policy proposals. We are just exploring now, but we're gonna get into it in the real details and, you know, write legislation, et cetera. So Mayor, you said it at the beginning, we've got an opportunity to really be involved in this, and everybody needs to. We're gonna be busting our butts on this, continuing to, and would love to be doing that on behalf of and with all of you. Mayor Ramsey.
Thank you so much, Andrew. And thank you to everybody who weighed in. I appreciate this conversation. And if I may just very quickly, the thought that comes to my mind as I'm hearing such great input, one point that I feel like I'd like to point out again is that high density housing and affordable housing are not necessarily the same thing. And that just needs to be, I think, reiterated because, you know, a brand new townhome starting at $450,000 is not affordable, you know? And so we can put in a whole bunch, but nobody can afford them yet, right? It's still, that doesn't make it affordable. So I think those are things we need to make sure that we don't always interchange those definitions, because they're not always synonymous and they don't mean the same thing. So, okay, moving on. Thank you again. We're gonna just talk for a minute about our fall opportunities. So every October, Wasatch Front Regional Council does really great outreach. And the Wasatch Vision Plan, the Wasatch Choice Vision, excuse me, as you know, it aligns our regional transportation plan with our local growth and economic development plans and our visions. And beginning in October, 10 workshops will be held, Wasatch Choice workshops. They'll be conducted all over the region. And many of you have participated in these and know how great they are and how helpful they really can be. It's a great opportunity to participate, and it drives the RTP. It drives the plan. What happens is the plan, which is, it's a living plan, but it's also something that is updated every 4 years. And it's hard for me to believe we're halfway through that next cycle again. You know, it is. And so this input's going to be very critical, and it starts in October. So we're going to turn it over to Julie Bornstad and let Julie kind of talk us through what to anticipate and give us a heads up about when it might be coming to our area and how we can participate.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mayor Ramsey. I'm Julie Bornstad, a senior transportation planner in the long range planning group here at WPRC. And we're excited for our next set of community workshops this fall. These are a really vital step in the development of our regional transportation plan. So like Mayor Ramsey and Andrew have noted earlier, the regional Wasatch Choice Regional Vision aligns our regional transportation plan with local land use and economic development strategies. And it's developed based on 10 regional goals, which were adopted in October of 2016. The regional transportation plan outlines our region's future road, transit, and active transportation investments over the next 30 years. We update this every 4 years. We constrain projects in the plan to those that the region can afford. The plan conforms to air quality standards and is prioritized into 10-year phases. But the regional transportation plan is not WFRC's alone. We act as a facilitator, bringing together local communities, counties, the region's transportation agencies like UDOT and UTA, as well as public and other stakeholders, to craft this blueprint for the future. And so why is the plan so important? The regional transportation plan is where transportation projects are born. It's the first step in moving from an idea into improving and enriching people's lives. So I have some photos up there of big projects that have started in the RTP, commuter rail, light rail, West Davis corridor, Legacy, and Mountain View corridor are just some of the examples here. So right now we are about halfway through the development of the 2023 to 2050 regional transportation plan, as Mayor Ramsey noted. Over the past year or two, we've been exploring new technologies and policies and other uncertainties could affect our travel demand, our travel behavior, our mode choices. And now we're ready to test planning ideas and identify projects to include within the 2023 plan. WPRC needs our local community's help and input in exploring these projects to ensure that the regional transportation plan meets both our collective regional needs and your individual local needs. So in order to do that, we're convening a series of Wasatch Choice workshops this fall. And the key objective is to build a preferred scenario of transportation projects to move forward in the planning and prioritization process. So we'll be crafting this preferred scenario through discussions about resiliency, about local and regional policy responses, but mainly through an exploration of active transportation, road, and transit projects. And so WFRC, in partnership with UDOT and UTA, will be hosting 8 workshops throughout the region this fall. From mid-October through the end of November, we're inviting mayors, city councilors, planning commissioners, city managers, planners, engineers, economic development staff, so basically all the key decision makers within your city. Invitations for these workshops have been sent out this week, so look for them on your calendar. And right now we're planning for these to be in person, but we are watching closely what our communities are doing, where public health is, and may choose to do these workshops virtually instead. And then in Morgan and Tooele County, WPRC will be working with UDOT to hold similar workshops to support the statewide long-range planning effort. And so with that, I can provide more detail or clarify anything related to the regional transportation plan process or to the upcoming workshops.
Julie, I just want to emphasize one point that you made, and that is that these workshops are not just WFRC workshops. We do these in close partnership with UDOT and UTA. So if you have ideas and you want to learn more and contribute to the discussion about what are the right transportation investments through UDOT or UTA, this is the path to doing that as well. And I know that, you know, Beth has already spoken up in this meeting. Shul Bishop and Carrie Doan are here from UTA. I saw Commissioner Kevin Van Tassel from the State Transportation Commission and Ben Hewitt from UDOT. So we are working on all of this together through WFRC, through the Regional Growth Committee, and then these workshops focus in your community and get into the details. What do you need in your community for transportation? State road, local road, transit, and active transportation. They're really important to shaping the future plan. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah.
Mayor Ramsey, can I do a very quick interjection as well?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I am also a planning commissioner in my community. And one of the things I love about these workshops is that they provide an opportunity that I just don't think exists anywhere else. And that's the opportunity for a community, elected officials, appointed officials, key staff, to also coordinate and chat with the same group of people from the nearby communities. So that opportunity to kind of swap ideas as a group of communities with similar issues and challenges, I think is really rare. And I'm just not sure that there's another opportunity quite like it. And that's part of what I love about these workshops. Mayor, back to you.
Thank you for that. That's such a good point. They really are great to participate in. And so as always, we encourage, the dates are up there. I appreciate having the dates. I took a picture of the screen so I can put it in my calendar. So encourage everyone to participate and to encourage your colleagues really to participate. The invitations are on their way. So thank you. All right, moving to number five. We're going to talk amendments, two different things. First, we're going to talk about the process. There's a little bit of an update to the amendment process in striving to make it slightly less cumbersome and a little easier for things that maybe are not significant enough that they need to come to the whole committee, simple things. And then also we have an action item that we are going to address, and it's exactly what we discussed at our meeting in May. And now it's just going to be time for us to take action, official action on it. So as a reminder, this regional transportation plan is adopted every 4 years, but it is a living plan. It's a living document that can be amended, and occasionally times come up when that's the case. So this first proposed discussion that we're going to have Jory Johnner run us through is for a few very simple, modest changes to the plan that really does streamline the ability to make small changes without having to take everyone's time and gather the entire committee, if it's the kind of thing that really can be done simply. Anything significant would always, of course, come to the committee, but we'll let Jory talk through some of those proposals. And then second, we're going to consider the Regional Transportation Plan amendment for approval. Keeping in mind, remembering that when we talked about this in May, these changes really are due to the transportation infrastructure policy that was passed in the last legislative session. And that's what's really driving these. And we've talked about them. We'll talk about it again and make sure you understand what it is we are discussing before we take that vote. But Jory, let's turn it over to you and let you take away with A first, please.
Thanks, Mayor. Can everybody see my screen? A little nod, head nodding, thumbs up.
Yes.
Appreciate that. One thing, Mayor, you made mention of adding that appointment to your calendar. The calendar appointments, as Julie made mention, won't pop up in your email, but they should be in your calendar already. And so we don't have a date or a location. We're still working on that. So when we send out the next update, hopefully you'll get it in your email and in the calendar as well, but it should be in the calendar already. And if it's not, reach out to myself and Rosie, and we'll make sure that we take care of that. So again, Jory Johnner here, Director of the Long Range Planning at Wasatch Front. As the mayor mentioned, we're proposing two modifications to the Regional Transportation Plan amendment process, and then asking for the Regional Growth Committee to recommend that the Regional Council approve these modifications. Julie noted in the last presentation, the Regional Transportation Plan was adopted in May of 2019. It's updated every 4 years. It's the transportation element of the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision, multimodal, financially constrained, and prioritized in the phases. and periodically, you know, changes are needed as we have an existing process to do this that was last adopted March 2020. So it's interesting. I went through my notes from back then and it reminded me that that was the first presentation I had made when we went into the pandemic. So it was interesting reading through my notes during that time. Anyways, moving forward, you have in your packet a summary of the proposed modification to the process and the detailed draft process with highlights noting the changes. I'll briefly walk you through these modifications, but at any time, feel free to stop me if you have any questions. The first proposed amendment process modification would be to include consultation with the Federal Highway Administration when we make RTP project revisions. We already routinely consult with Federal Highways when we make amendments to the RTP. This proposed process modification would codify that the consultation will happen. Federal Highways requested that we make this process modification, and we are comfortable with that. Here you can see where this update would take place in the process at the beginning before WFRC staff work through the details of an RTP amendment in each of the three levels. The second proposed modification of the RTP amendment process is to provide more flexibility and responsiveness in updating the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision Centers. For example, changing the boundaries of an area where the city is planning for additional development. Currently, these center change requests are a level 2 board modification that require action by the Regional Growth Committee. The proposed modification would be to place these changes into the level 1 staff modification category, so that WFRC staff, you know, working with the affected local communities, could make these modifications easier. The center modifications would still be shared with the Regional Growth Committee and the Technical Advisory Committees as, you know, in a presentation or a review. Again, this would allow for more responsive and flexibility in working with the communities to make such revisions. Currently, we're actually going through the process of refining how the centers were reflected in the Wasatch Choice maps. We've been working with all the local communities across the region in that effort now. And I think we've heard back from almost all the communities and are looking forward to updating the vision here shortly. With that, that concludes my presentation and would like to ask for any questions. Would like to see if Andrew or Ted had anything else to add on top of this presentation. And then you can see here on the screen and in your packet, there's draft language to recommend that the council approve these changes to the Regional Transportation Plan amendment process.
Nothing else. Thanks, Jory, unless people have questions.
Okay. I'm not seeing any hands. Okay, thank you so much. Thanks, Jory, for that. All right, can I get a motion to recommend that the Wasatch Front Regional Council approve the modified process for amending the Regional Transportation Plan?
So moved.
This is Joy, I'll second it.
Who was the motion, please?
Commissioner McConnell.
Oh, thank you, and Mayor Petro, correct?
Yes, great.
Thank you
so much. Any discussion to this motion?
Just a question, if I could. Andrew, Jory, could you tell us what percentage of your RTP projects would thus be eliminated from consideration? I don't have a clear sense. It seems to me most of the amendments that I, in the past, as you know, I've had some concerns about them, although they weren't shared concerns, so they did pass, the amendments passed. But do we know if this is half of the projects or a third of the projects or what?
Yeah, Jory, let me answer this, and then if you want to fill in any, you can. Professor Ewing, the process change we're talking about here would not affect in any way the transportation projects that come to or don't come to the Regional Growth Committee. So the dialogue that we've had with you, that we appreciate on amendments over time, has typically been around road projects and transit projects. So this amendment does not change that, okay? We're talking about, the modest streamlining that Mayor Ramsey talked about and then Jory talked about, is doing things like boundary changes on a Wasatch Choice Center. You know, like if South Jordan says, well, this development we were planning for it to occur here, but now as we've rethought it, it's going to occur in a slightly different area. We can make a boundary change on the Wasatch Choice Center's map without bringing that, waiting and bringing that back for full vote by the Regional Growth Committee. But it still would be shared with the Regional Growth Committee. Okay. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Any additional questions or comments before we take a vote? Bear with me, I'm scrolling between a couple of screens. All right, seeing none, all in favor of approving the motion as it stands on the table, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you, that motion passes. Jory, we'll turn it back over to you.
All right, thank you, Mayor. Second item related to amendments is we'll be presenting to you for your approval the amendment number 3 to the 2019 to 2050 Regional Transportation Plan, lovingly known as the RTP, since we love acronyms. This amendment was presented to you in May, and with one exception, is exactly the same as you approved in May. The amendment was put out for public comment and taken to the county councils of government for review, and no changes resulting from that review. Today it is the largest RTP amendment in WFRC history. We wanted to refresh your memory about the amendment, what the amendment contains, before asking for your approval. I'll briefly review where we are in the amendment process for the third amendment to the RTP, highlight a few of the projects within this amendment, and ask for your recommendation to the Regional Council to approve the amendment number 3 to the 2019 RTP and the accompanying air quality conformity determination. A complete list of the projects are included in your packet. And if you'd like any additional details or discussion on each of the projects, we're more than happy to do that. Similar to before, the Wasatch Choice Vision, is our community shared vision for transportation investments, development patterns, and economic opportunities. The vision is a key strategy to help ensure that enhance the quality of life as the region grows. And the Wasatch Choice envisions transportation investments, interrelated land use, and economic development. And as a reminder, for the third time in a row, the RTP is the transportation component of the regional of the Wasatch Choice vision. You've seen this slide in the last 2 presentations. If you'd like me to cover it in more detail, I can spend the rest of the meeting doing that, but if not, I'm gonna move on to the next slide. So periodically adjustments are needed to the amendment during the planning cycle. Changes to funding availability, local or state needs, or changes to land use. The amendment process is more streamlined now, and with the hopeful approval of the latest changes, will even be more streamlined. It includes public input and air quality conformity. And over the last couple years, the RGC has made 2 other amendments to the regional transportation plan. As you can see here on this slide, we are near the end of this level 3 full amendment process. Looking for your recommendation to the Regional Council. So Amendment 3 includes a total of 22 projects. As I made mention, it's the largest amendment we've had in WFRC history. It includes 1 level 1 staff modification requested from the Military Installation Development Authority, MIDA, 8 level 2 board modifications of non-regionally significant projects, 1 from each Brigham City, Draper, Sandy, and Murray, and 2 from South Weber and West Jordan, and 13 level 3 full amendments of regionally significant project requests, with 11 from UDOT and 2 from UTA. The Regional Growth Committee approved the level two board modifications on May 20th meeting. If you recall, during that meeting, there was significant discussion about the northern extents of the Three Gate Trail. Following that meeting, WFRC staff worked with local communities in the area and extended the project further north to the Weber River Parkway, just south of 31st Street in Weber County. This change was reviewed by both Mayor Ramsey and Mayor Dandoy and approved by Andrew on May 27th. This is the only change to the amendment that from what you reviewed at the May meeting, May RGC meeting. The 13 projects seen here on the map, I need your recommendation to be approved by the Regional Council as they fall in the level three category. These projects are regionally significant and include UTA Fixed Guideway and UDOT Freeway projects, including strategic double tracking of Front Runner, I-15 widening and reconstruction in South Davis County, and the Mountain View Corridor in southeastern Salt Lake County. Since most of these projects are regional in scale, the technical considerations of vehicle hours of travel by county have been analyzed. Here you can see an improvement in the overall VHT in all counties resulting from the projects in this amendment. As a reminder, the level one projects and level two projects have been approved. We presented to all four county COGs last summer. The public comment period and two in-person open houses were held during July with no comments being submitted. If RGC recommends the Regional Council approve these, it would be taken to the Regional Council next Thursday at the August 26th meeting. So, Mayor Ramsey, that concludes my presentation here. Happy to answer any questions. And on this screen, you can see the, and in your packet, the proposed motion for approval of the level three amendment and air quality conformity.
Thank you, Jory. Does anybody have any questions? Professor Ewing.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mayor Ramsey. And Jory, just a question that has come up in the past, and you show, and I love the fact now that you are showing impacts on VHT, vehicle hours traveled. I think that's, that wasn't the case in the early years for the amendments. But I wonder if you are considering this thing that I bring up when these amendments come up of induced travel and induced development. The problem with a lot of these limited and controlled access roads is they do induce more traffic and they do induce more sprawl type development. And I wonder to what extent the numbers you showed us reflect this reality, Jory or Andrew or Ted or whomever.
Jory, I am happy to weigh in here. Two things to note. First of all, our transportation planning process does consider induced growth. In other words, the link between an investment being made and it affecting where the market wants to build. And that's through the real estate market model. So that is taken into account in our transportation planning process. I believe it is the case that all of these projects are in the plan already, and we're talking about changing the timing of projects predominantly. That said, Professor, I think that we could, in looking prospectively at future planning improvements, that we need to ask ourselves, are we effectively getting at an understanding of induced travel? Our travel model does give us that information. The extent to which we evaluate individual projects and the relationship between a project and how it might affect travel demand is something that I think we need to understand potentially better. in the planning process. I don't think that within the amendment process is perhaps the right spot to do that. So I reviewed the background, and then I'm thinking aloud with you and Regional Growth Committee about how we might tackle this important consideration perhaps in the future.
Thank you for that. And I do think when I asked the question, it was really have you rerun the real estate market model to reflect these changes. And I think your answer was yes, you have. You're talking just about phase changes. And so what was in phase three is now in phase two, and phase three impacts have already been analyzed. Is that what you said, Ted?
Yeah, I mean that's essentially the case. Yes. In other words, we took these basic considerations into effect during the planning process, the overall adoption of the regional transportation plan.
Ted, I'll just supplement one of the things, just as a reminder to folks, the significant amount of projects that are contained in this amendment, as Mayor Ramsey noted, much of it comes from funding that was authorized in the most recent legislative session, which, by the way, the most balanced multimodal legislative action that we've ever seen on state funding for transportation, in that it's state roads, it's transit, it's active transportation, and as Jory noted, all of those are included in this amendment. But to Professor Ewing's point, which and the dialogue between Professor Ewing and Ted here, it's important to note these projects all come from the Regional Transportation Plan, Utah's Unified Transportation Plan. They are all incorporated as part of the Wasatch Choice vision. They have been modeled in the travel demand model and the real estate market model. And then, as was noted, the timing of them is adjusted by when there are funds available. But yes, they all emerge out of the planning process that you all of us have a part in shaping and designing as we go forward. So I will say that was the balanced nature of the action, and also the fact that all of the action reflects projects that are in the plan already, valuing the planning process, I think were two very, very positive elements of this.
Thank you.
And Mayor Ramsey, not to elaborate too much, I just want to note that this is such an important question, because if we're trying to do things like reduce congestion, our ability to understand if a project will actually reduce congestion really in part hinges on us understanding, does it actually create more demand? If we don't consider those things, then we're actually not getting a really good, accurate sense of how well something might perform. So this is part of doing good planning, is to tackle these really tough kinds of questions. So I appreciate Professor Ewing's exploring that with us.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you for Professor and Ted and Andrew, all of you, for weighing in on that. Appreciate that. Is there any other discussion before we call for a motion? Okay. Seeing none, is there anyone who would like to make a motion to recommend approval of the Level 3 amendment projects? And let's see, Jory, would you like to put the language back up there, or would you like me to just, I can read it and somebody can make a motion if you'd like. Let's have you put it up there. Thank you. Appreciate that. Is there anyone who would like to make that motion?
I'd like to make that motion, Mayor Allen.
Thank you.
I make a motion to recommend approval of Level 3 full amendment projects and the air quality conformity determination as found in draft air quality memorandum 40 or amendment number 3 to the 2019-2050 RTP for the Wasatch Front Regional Council at the August 26, 2021 meeting.
Excellent. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that. Can we get a second for that?
Second from Kendall Thomas, Tula County Council.
Thank you, Councilman. Appreciate that. All right. Any additional discussion? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor of approving the motion on the table, please say aye.
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 Is there any opposed? All right, that motion passes. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, the last item on our agenda, really, we just have a quick overview for just a couple of minutes. So WFRC has six programs that provide funding and technical assistance to our communities, which averages about $40 million per year. It's quite a bit of money. So we've asked the WFRC staff to briefly explain each of these programs so that you and your city or your county understand what's available so you can apply for assistance. So let's turn it to Wayne Binion. And Wayne, if you'd please just talk us through those. We want to make sure everyone understands what's available.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate that. And I'll just get the slideshow up. Our purpose today is to share information about each of the six funding programs that the Regional Council administers and encourage everyone to check them out and make application for them. I'm going to just give a very brief introduction and then turn it over to each of the program leads. Ben Withrich will talk about the first three programs here, Megan about the TLC program, Marsha about the WFEDD, and Christy Dahlberg about the Community Development Block Grant program. All of these programs are competitive. In addition to what the information that is shared today, at the last day or two of August, we'll send out some additional information, but we want to make you aware of, remind you of these programs today so that you can be watching for that email at the end of August. If you're unsure about which program to submit to, just submit a letter of intent and we'll get it. We'll make sure it gets to the right program. So with that, Ben.
Wonderful, thank you. Good morning, everyone. So the Wasatch Front Regional Council has a responsibility to coordinate the programming of the three federal funds first on the list. The Surface Transportation Program or the STP funds, the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality or the CMAQ funds, and the Transportation Alternatives Program or the TAP funds. So the Surface Transportation Program or STP funds are portioned to WFRC every year at the amount of about $20 million for the Salt Lake West Valley urban area and about $10 million for the Ogden-Layton urban area. These funds can be used to construct new roads or widen existing facilities, which could include components of active transportation improvements, as long as that facility is a federal aid eligible and is in the first phase of the regional transportation plan. We can also reconstruct existing facilities, replace or reconstruct bridges, improve intersections, or implement projects that reduce traffic demand, like transit improvements, ride sharing, et cetera. As an example, or a good example of an STP project was a project on 5600 West between 6200 South and 70th South. This facility was a narrow two-lane facility with some shoulder, curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and no lighting and very poor pavement. Now it's a five-lane facility with lighting, bike lanes, curb, gutter, and sidewalk on both sides with the center turn lane and new pavement. So this road with proper maintenance could last or would last or will last 20 or more years and will provide a safe facility for all the users. The next program is the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program or the CMAQ funds. These type of projects must be used that will improve on air quality. These funds are apportioned to WFRC each year with about $5.6 million in the Salt Lake West Valley urban area and about $3 million for the Ogden-Layton urban area. These funds can be used to implement diesel engine retrofits, idle reduction, provide alternative fuels and vehicles, construct, purchase, or expand public transportation facilities and equipment, or implement projects that will reduce the traffic demand like rideshare van pools or car sharing, et cetera. On the next slide, As pictures speak a thousand words, here are a few eligible CMAQ project types that have been approved and constructed or implemented with CMAQ funds. We got the transit bus, van, pools, BRTs, rail expansions. We improve, construct, or expand the intelligent transportation system or ITS network, improve intersection turning movements or signal coordination, and construct bicycle and pedestrian facilities for the commuters. The next funding program is Transportation Alternatives Program, or the TAP funds. These funds are apportioned to WFRC each year, with about $900,000 for the Salt Lake West Valley urban area, and about a half a million or $500,000 for the Ogden-Layton urban area. Eligible type projects would include planning, design, and construction of pedestrian facilities, bicyclists, and other non-motorized forms of transportation. These improvements could include sidewalks, bicycle infrastructure, traffic calming techniques, lighting and safety related to infrastructure for non-drivers, and safe routes to school projects. The DNRG rail trail is an excellent example of a good TAP project. The DNRG rail trail, or Western Rail Trail, extends north from West Bountiful, passes through the Farmington Bay Waterfowl Management Area, where it joins the Legacy Parkway Trail, continues north. The trail travels through Farmington, Kaysville, Layton, Clearfield, and Clinton, all the way to Hinckley Drive on the border of Roy and West Haven. Both trails are part of the Golden Spoke Network, as you've heard, which offers more than 100 miles of connected paved trails stretching from Ogden down to Provo. These are all excellent projects, as Wayne said, if you have any thoughts of any projects that might align in one of these categories, we'd ask for you to let us know via a letter of intent. Megan?
Thank you, Ben. So the next program we'll talk about is the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program. This is our Planning Technical Assistance Program. It's a partnership between UDOT, UTA, Salt Lake County, and the Wasatch Front Regional Council. That partnership is really critical to making this program a success. The TLC program administers and operates on a budget of $1.9 million annually. It's a drop in the bucket compared to the programs Ben just discussed, but this is all planning work that really goes a long way in the end. The goals of the program are to maximize the value of investment in public infrastructure, enhance access to opportunities, increase travel options to optimize mobility, and create communities with opportunities to live, work, and play. The whole purpose of this program is to help communities implement the Wasatch Choice vision and achieve their own planning goals. TLC projects can be anything from planning to policies to really working toward products on the ground. We've supported many of your communities and visions, community engagement, lots of downtown master plans, stationary master plans, and of course our active transportation plans, lots of bike and pedestrian planning going on through TLC. Policies are very eligible within the program. So anything that's, you know, rezoning your central business district of your community, maybe it's design standards or street connectivity ordinance, those kinds of things with regulatory influence. And then there's products. So if you're looking into financing options, maybe you have a front runner station in your community and you want to consider the HTRZ opportunity that is now available. We could do a feasibility study or really work with a financial consultant on what that HTRZ might do for your community, along with other CRA strategies, things like that. We can work directly with you between a large landowner or a large developer. Anything that we can support you with to help improve your communities, create a little bit more, implement those centers, really, that's all eligible under TLC. With studies and analyses along the way, maybe it's a market study or a parking study that you need, we can support you in all of those things through the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program. These are things that sometimes it's really helpful to just talk through. So we've got, between myself, we've got Michaela, Marsha, Chrissy, all of us work on this program here at WFRC. Pick up the phone and call us. We can chat through your planning needs and hopefully get you to the right support. Thanks. Marcia?
Thanks, Megan. The Wasatch Front Economic Development District
operates under the umbrella of the Wasatch Regional Front Regional Council. This is a really unique program where we are a federally recognized economic development district. This slide points out our mission, which is to support the existing economic development efforts, promote long-term economic competitiveness, and attract federal monies to implement local plans. We have a 12-member board and a 25-member strategy committee that helps with our produce our comprehensive economic development strategy, or our SEDS. These are our four goals that came out of the SEDS that was adopted in 2019. So our funding goes towards looking at these four goals. We are federally recognized, so we get money from the U.S. Economic Development Administration. So we closely work with them to acquire funding and then help support funding projects. Mostly what we have funded is economic development plans, economic, and recently economic like resiliency programs and those kind of things. One program that I want to talk about really quickly is many of you heard in July that the EDA released new ARPA funding money. There's $3 billion in funds available for different categories. You can see them there. And depending on if you want a project that fits in one of those projects, I can certainly help you and direct you to the EDA and who that person might be. But obviously, if it's related to transportation or trails or things like that, please reach out to me and we can see if we can try to navigate through this process through the EDA. So that's it. And then Christy.
Thank you, Marcia. So yes, I am Christy Dahlberg and I administer the Community Block Grant Small Cities Program for the Wasatch Front. This program is administered here for the smaller, less populated cities and counties in our region. And the objective of CDBG is to assist in developing viable communities by providing decent housing, a suitable living environment, and expanding economic opportunities, principally for persons of low and moderate income. It's a competitive grant program open to the jurisdictions within Morgan, Tooele, and Weber counties, excluding Ogden City as they have their own entitlement program. So this list is a list of activities that can be funded using CDBG dollars. There's a variety of projects that can be funded, including fire equipment, storage bays, infrastructure projects such as water and sewer, their street, sidewalk, curb, gutter, public service providers such as domestic violence shelters, food banks, housing authorities, and homeless shelters. So again, a wide variety of eligible projects that can be funded with CDBG. The main stipulation being that the project principally benefits low to moderate income households. So if you have any questions about how your community can participate in CDBG, feel free to contact me and I'll help you answer any questions you may have about eligibility or process. So as Wayne mentioned, this was our opportunity to remind you and make sure that you're aware of all the funding opportunities that we have for our communities within our region. And as he mentioned also, we will be sending out shortly a notice or request for submittals of letters of intent. So look for that at the end of this month. Those letters of intent are due at the end of September, so September 30th. And that's the main step that you should be paying attention to in the next month or two. And then if you have any questions about any of the programs, any of the funding sources, feel free to reach out to any one of us. Again, if you're not sure which one, you can reach out to anyone on this list, anyone at WFRC, and they'll connect you with the right person, the right program, and we'll make sure that we can help you answer any questions or about the process or applications or anything for any of these funding opportunities. Thank you.
I'll just say thanks to our team, and we love to be able to help you. That's the point of all of this. And if you have needs, if you have ideas, if you have issues, just get in contact with us. We want to make it as easy for you as possible. Get in touch, as all of our team has said, and we'll do everything we can to help you accomplish your objectives.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Back to you.
Thank you so much, all of you. Appreciate that. Great opportunities, and they, your expertise really helps us make a difference in our communities. And I can tell you, my community in the southwest portion of Salt Lake County, where we're growing so quickly, we've benefited greatly over the last year and a half, 2 years over through this planning process and Megan's efforts to help us and through grant funding. So thank you. We appreciate that. Okay. Just a couple of quick calendar items. Wasatch Front Regional Council meeting is next Thursday at 2 o'clock. For anyone who's part of the board or interested in attending, Senator Romney will be joining us to talk about the federal infrastructure legislation. So that's a conversation we look forward to getting more information about that. Our next Regional Growth Committee meeting is October 21st, 2021. And just a reminder that if you haven't had the chance to take the survey, please do. That feedback is invaluable and we would appreciate hearing from you. You need to take it by today. It needs to be done by end of day today. So if you'll try to bust out that survey and take a few minutes to do that, we would appreciate that. And finally, I just appreciate the chance to serve with all of you great leaders from around the region or across the Wasatch Front. It's a privilege to serve with you. I appreciate your service to your communities and to the Regional Growth Committee of Wasatch Front Regional Council. And with that, I am going to ask if there is a motion to adjourn.
Could I make a point, really quick one?
Just yes, take go a ahead. Minute.
Yeah, thank you. There wasn't an opportunity as we were going through the different WFRC programs. The city, Salt Lake City, has re-entered the area of traffic calming, which is an available option under transportation alternatives. If we really want this to be a multimodal region, we've got to slow cars down, and the city, through the mayor's leadership and the Transportation Advisory Board, has budgeted $100,000 for planning traffic calming programs. We had a program up till about 2003. We're back in the business at the city of doing it. This would be for the TLC program, all you mayors and council people, a really good way to approach transportation alternatives, biking and walking, slow down the cars with raised intersections and raised crosswalks and traffic circles and speed tables and so on. And you could apply for a grant to do a plan and then use transportation alternatives money to implement the plan. So the city's doing it big time. I can't tell you how pleased we are on the Transportation Advisory Board for the city to be doing it, and the leadership of the council and the mayor has been instrumental.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. All right. Unless anyone has anything else, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Mayor. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, this meeting is adjourned. Appreciate all of you. And we'll see some of you at the Salt Lake County COG in a few minutes, and others we'll see hopefully next week. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.